Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
We're going to do an hour of You May Now Talk to Phil at 1-800-449-8686. Rarely do we allow people to actually call and talk to me. But we do it every now and again in case there was something that might have happened on this program, an opinion expressed, a observation proffered that you wanted to comment on. We think it's, you know, only fair that every now and again we let the audience up for air, as we like to say on this show. So 1-800-449-8686. The rare opportunity to talk to Phil. And we were just sitting here speculating wildly and irresponsibly about what might have happened to Chandra Levy. You may not know this story. In fact, most of you probably don't know quite what it is I'm talking about. It's one of those things that only political junkies are completely into. In other words, balding white men around the age of 50 are probably very familiar with the Gary Condit Chandra Levy story. And that is a congressman and a missing intern. Apparently they had a relationship, the nature of which nobody knows anything about, but everybody's speculating about it anyway. She's missing. They can't find her, and this guy is talking to the police and to the FBI about it, even though most of the people who comment on this say that he isn't. In other words, there's been a lot of speculation and a lot of observation and a lot of ignorant commentary concerning this, having nothing to do with reality. So during the news, as we were watching some of the news coverage of this particular story, we began speculating ourselves as to what might have happened. And we're fairly agreed on the fact that he probably got her pregnant, took her to get a back alley abortion, she bled to death, and then he stuffed her in the trunk of his car and drove that car into a river. We're pretty sure that's what Congressman Condit did with the missing Washington intern. Yay. So in case you guys weren't fully briefed on what's been happening in this case and the particulars of this story, that's what we think happened. That's how we think this whole thing came down. Or either that, or he beat her to death with an axe handle, then rolled her body up into a carpet and threw it off a cliff into some deep abandoned well or a river bottom or something like that. We have no basis, we have no evidence to suggest any of this, but what the hell? We're going to talk about it anyway. We'll just speculate wildly because that's what everybody's doing. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. By the way, we had a great 4th of July, and we went up to Fillmore and got fireworks and then brought them back to our house and lit them on our driveway. And where we live, it's illegal. So while the kids were lighting these tequila sunrises and these purple hazes and these fountains and the little spinning camellias, those fireworks that spin on the ground, there I am sweating every headlight that goes by, every single car that drives by, because I'm pretty sure that one of them's got to be a cop or a representative of the fire department. And I said to Maria, you know, this is illegal. Oh, it's fine. It's not going to be fine. It's against the law. There I live in a house surrounded by dry, dense brush. My kids lighting off fireworks that are illegal. Smoke billowing into the sky like it's Chernobyl. And my wife saying, oh, you know. Not to mention the fact that all responsible adults in attendance were drunk. I mean, I'm kidding. No, well, I don't want to say. So that's how we spent our 4th. Neil, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi. Neil? Nice screen job there, Mike. All right, well, we'll just wait. Wait until we get a good call. 1-800-449-8686. This is You May Now Talk to Phil. Sometimes people just petrify themselves. They just crap themselves at the prospect of talking to us. We'll be right back. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
One of our rare You May Not Talk to Phil hours, and Mike's been able to screen only two usable calls out of the ones that we're getting. But that's how it goes. And one of them, the guy was not there. I don't know, probably a car phone problem, probably anything. Maybe Congressman Condit got to him. I don't know what happened to the guy. Maybe he's been stuffed into a rug and shoved in the trunk of a car somewhere. But we do have Jeff here in Tucson. Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, Phil, how's it going? Great
Fine.
Show as always.
Thank you.
Yeah, I listen to you all the time, man. You're freaking hilarious.
Great show as always. Jesus.
And I ain't RC, sorry.
No problem. What's up, man?
Oh, I just want to say that when you first started doing Bud Dickman's Top 10 a few months ago.
Oh, yeah?
I couldn't stand it because obviously I can't stand that music.
Well, who can stand that music? Yeah, yeah.
But as time progresses, it's gotten funnier and funnier. I think today's was the best
one. Oh, did you like that one today?
What?
Did you like the one today?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, you just didn't stop.
How about him playing Freebird at the end?
Yeah, that was pretty good. I like that song, but it does get old after time.
Yeah, you know, Freebird, right. When I played that because I was in what was called album rock radio back in the 70s,
yeah.
So I played Freebird a lot. I played Stairway to Heaven. I always hated that song. Not that I hated Skynyrd. I liked Lynyrd Skynyrd. And I thought they were a band with great potential, but that song sucked from the get.
You think so?
I didn't dig it. But
I like
Bud,
the last half, the guitar, man.
The guitar jam, yeah.
But that's about
well,
it.
Well, Bud,
yeah.
That's Bud's favorite song, so yeah, he had to drop that in there.
Bud's a hilarious character too. He's got that personality that you want to kick, but he doesn't pull any punches. And
yeah, he's a great comic foil. He's just dumb enough to piss you off, but smart enough to actually mess you up.
Yeah, he's a stand-up guy. Too,
okay, Jeff. Well, thanks, brother.
No problem.
Nice talking to you.
I want to ask you one more question.
Go ahead.
Are you ever going to make your shows available to the public for purchase at any time?
Well, that's something that's, you know, that's a good question. That's something that's up to the people that syndicate the show, since they own the rights to the show.
You're right.
So we do our CDs, but I've had more people say, well, I like this hour or I like that particular hour or something, that we should make whole hours available. I wonder how that would go.
I think it would go great, actually.
Do you? I think what we'll do is we're going to look into that and begin to make that available on our website through purchase.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and so that people who are fans of the show will check in and you can purchase selected hours maybe via the website, something like that.
Yeah, you kind of almost said I have the whole hour together to make it complete.
Right. Well, I mean, we'll sell because generally the way our show goes, the hours are self-contained, so we'll sell the hour and see if we can make some dollars, and and then we can we're all out of here, man. We're gone. Thanks.
I just hate to see your show lost forever. That's all.
Hey, well, that's very nice of you, man. I appreciate that.
Thanks a lot.
Okay,
Phil.
Jeff. Thank you.
Keep me laughing every day.
Thanks, brother.
Take it
bye
easy.
Bye. I know that people like people have said, well, I like that hour. Can we get it? And we don't make tapes. And just so you guys know, it's nothing. It's not a decision that I make. It's the people who license the show. They make that decision, and then we just have to go along with that. 1-800-449-8686. Talking to Phil this hour. Here is Harold. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Fine.
Love your show. I was fooled the first time I heard it. Is there any way we can see you live doing this?
We're thinking about doing a promotion where we're going to invite people in to watch the show. I've done live shows from the Museum of Television and Radio in L.A., and where else did I do a live show, Craig? Was it just from the museum? And places like that? Are you talking about where you live in Salt Lake City?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of far to fly out to L.A. to see that.
Is it really?
Well,
you can't just
really.
Hop
we go
on a plane?
Out there,
well,
why
not? Okay, well, next time you're out golfing, call me. Let me know that you're Harold from Salt Lake. repeat the coded number that Mike is going to give you when I put you on hold. And then I'll let you come in and see the show. How's that?
Oh, that'd be cool.
Do you suffer from any physical malady?
No.
Do you have any kind of handicap at all?
No.
So there's no way that I could go to my bosses
the golf
and say.
One.
So there's no way I could go to my bosses and say, "Well, Harold is crippled or he's blind, so let him in."
Oh, I have half a kidney. Well,
there
I
you go.
Drink.
Okay.
Is
so
that
you
a
got
handicap?
Half. Perfect. Perfect.
All right.
And otherwise, it's going to be pay per view. No. All right, Harold, hold on, and Michael will give you the special coded number. Okay.
Okay,
on the line. Hey, Mike. Give the guy on line two a three-digit number, something like 123, so that when a Harold from Salt Lake calls and says his number is 123, we'll know that that's Harold. Oh, my God, I just gave his number out in the air. All right, let's go to Mike here on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Phil.
How are you?
Oh, hey, I am so good, man. Listen, I'm talking to a god. You are the best. I love the way you stay in character, push the absurdity, and even when somebody's catching on to the thing, you just go back to the character, go back to the absurdity. I got to tell you, about a year ago, I was starting to get people turned on to what you were doing, and you did a thing on the Dodgers where the Dodgers were blowing so bad during the I don't know what run they were in, but you did a thing where the Dodgers were playing a team of female one-legged comedians.
Yes.
And then it went into the rotation on the five off the web. I got to tell you, man, we laughed until we cried. You are what radio deserves.
Oh, you like that? That was one-legged female comedians or celebrities?
So, I thought it was comedians because Tony Fields. I remember Tony Fields got a hit off of first, and then it was bizarre. It was wonderful.
Yeah, Tony Fields. I think it was just celebrities because we had Paul McCartney's girlfriend. She's got one leg.
There you go. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Tony Fields has one leg. I don't know how we came up with an entire 9-man roster of one-legged women who are famous.
It was beautiful.
Yeah,
it was beautiful.
I'm
and
glad
I love
you like
Ted
that.
Bell, I got to tell you.
Ted's
tremendous. You know what? There's so much absurdity in the world that you've made it into an art form.
Well, life is an absurd thing, so why not just keep it going? You know,
why not?
Life is absurd, but.
I'm an old early 70s rock and roll guy, so I appreciate you're just doing a great job.
Thank you.
We love you.
Remember that life is absurd, so why not make it worse?
There you go.
Okay, now listen to this, man.
It's beautiful. Some of the stuff gets going on. I can't imagine what conversations. What is it like to ride in the backseat of your car when you're driving somewhere?
Well, I was driving somewhere in the backseat of my car, and then I went off a cliff. So now hold on. Listen to this, okay?
How you doing, Mike? This is Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Come on down to our steakhouse and sit down and have a baked potato wrapped in tinfoil. I'm Ted. I'm Ted Bell.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
There you go.
Hey,
that? All right.
You're great, man.
All right, man. Thanks.
You do a shtick that's just it's pure entertainment. You play off some absurdity that's around us all the time.
Well, thank you.
Sometimes when you listen to what's going on in the world, nothing makes sense. But Phil Hendry.
All right, but thanks for calling.
No, you're great,
bye.
Man. I love you.
All right, man. Thanks. Bye. So that's our Ted's of Beverly Hills jingle. And if we can get one for Bobby Dooley and the Homeowners Association, it is going to be a sweet thing. Here is Jeff on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Jeff?
Right here.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, you're kind of a little bit out of line, you know what I mean? I mean, in the sake of parody.
This is a typical Miami call, by the way. People from Miami can't call up and just say, hi, how you doing? They got to start trying to prove that they ought to be on the radio themselves. Go ahead, Jeff. What's the problem?
No. It's just, I mean, you know, who else are you going to tar and feather that bad? This guy's not even a suspect.
Who are you talking about?
A bunch of nonsense, right?
Who are you talking about?
Like you already want to crucify him, and what's he done?
Who are you talking about?
Condit.
You know something, man? If you were actually serious, we could have a conversation, okay?
I'm being serious.
No, you could care less. You don't even know how to spell a guy's name. You don't even know who he is.
Yeah. No.
No. Bug off, okay? Go call one of my very dear friends like Mike Reagan, all right? He'd actually sit and listen to you. He'd give you 5 minutes. This is one of the reasons why I can't stand guys like that or any kind of radio like that. Hey, Conda, you know, the guys, nobody even knows who this guy is. Except for that guy. The guy's pissed because they said the only people that know anything about this Condit story are 50, bald, and white. Okay, Neil, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi.
Phil, you're awesome.
How you doing?
Hey, I just got a question for you. How do you keep, like, when you do the characters and then you do the people that call in, how do you keep everything straight?
Well, Viagra. I do a thing where I write down literally on a piece of paper in front of me what characters I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
And then I know the character's on the phone, and I know it's me on the mic. So that's how I keep that straight. If I'm doing more than one character, then I just write down the names of the characters.
And you can't hear yourself, right?
I can't hear myself? What do you mean?
You can't hear the whole thing as it's going. I mean, like you replayed the...
Well, I can't hear it. I hear it as I'm doing it.
Right.
How did it play? I'd have to listen back to hear how everything played out.
Okay. Well, we
I don't know how to
Denver.
Say it. Well, thank you very much.
You're awesome.
You're a great man.
Thanks.
Bye. Jamil, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
How you doing?
Good, sir.
I wanted to know how you came up with the character Brass.
Who's that, sir?
Brass, the Spanish guy.
Yes, uh-huh.
The one that doesn't speak speak any Spanish?
Yes. Yeah, that character came to mind because there are a lot of people who like to identify with their ethnic heritage, and they don't know really anything about it other than the fact that they've got a Hispanic last name, you know.
Right.
And they get all defensive, and they suddenly rise to the occasion. They want to talk at length about the cultural impoverishment or whatever it is that's going on, and they don't know. They're not educated.
Right.
And Brass is a real example of that, you know.
Okay. And what about the other skits you did with the guy that was trying to get with the LAPD?
Mm-hmm.
Was that the same character?
Dave Oliva. No, he's different. Dave it wants to be LAPD. He thinks it's the greatest police department in the world.
Man, I think that show right there had me dying for days. My customers in the cab were just dying.
Which show was it, Jamil? Tell me what was the character doing?
Actually, he was in a movie theater, right?
Yeah.
And he had screamed fire.
Right.
And the old lady got trampled or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was trying to figure out why the LAPD locked him up.
For screaming fire in a crowded theater.
Right.
Because he has the constitutional right to do that. Oh, I remember, and he wanted to know, what was an old lady with a walker doing at the 10 p.m. show of The Mummy Returns?
And then a guy called up like, you're the dumbass, you're on fire.
That's right. He thought there was something very suspicious about the old lady being at The Mummy Returns, so he wanted to frisk her, I think. Yeah.
That show was hilarious.
Well, I'm glad. You drive a cab in Atlanta.
Yeah. Hey, the customers tip me just for hearing your show, man.
Well, that's a great... I used to live in Atlanta.
Oh, really?
I lived in Midtown. Yeah, I worked at WSB.
Okay.
Of course, now I'm on the great WGST in Atlanta.
Right.
I got fired, actually, from WSB. And WGST has since taken me under their wing and into their care, and we're doing well. So thank you very much.
All right, man. You have a good one.
All right, buddy. Thanks. So, I just let the cat out of the bag about what happened in my life in Atlanta. And the homosexuality. I guess I had to get into that at some point. Well, I will. 1-800-449-8686. All in good time. David, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil Hendry. How you doing?
Good.
Listen, what I love about your technique is when you do your character and you'll start to bait yourself. And you will come back on, and then you'll catch yourself. What do you mean?
And I'm pissing myself off?
Yeah. And there's also a pattern that you get into. Anybody that really listens to your, anybody that's, you know, got half a brain.
And half a life.
The pattern evolve.
Uh-huh.
And go, this has got to be him. But, you know, and then these people call, and it just never ceases to amaze me.
There's certain phrases and stuff that I know that I use, that I repeat, that I use in my own. Yeah. Are you blowing a whistle? It sounds like you're refereeing
that's
a pop burglar
alarm. It checks my line in case it gets cut. It's not a recording.
In case your line gets cut?
Yeah, down in South Florida here. It's Southern Bell just tracks your line, and if somebody breaks into your house but cuts your phone line first.
Yeah?
It just lets them know that your phone line's been cut, and they send the police.
Has that happened to you before?
Been broken into?
Yeah.
Yeah, I lived on the beach at the end of Oakland Park. I know you used to come, you were down in Miami for a while.
Yeah.
And, we got broken. My brother and I both got broken into. My brother caught the guy, held him at gunpoint. I came running down, found my dad's ring, and got all of our stuff back, had the cops there. The cops were saying, you know, I'd have shot him, I'd have shot him, you know.
Well, did you have your phone line cut? Is that why you thought?
No. It didn't happen. No, I've been broken. I just thought you meant I'd have been broken into before.
Oh. Yeah, no. That's what I meant. But that's an interesting security measure that I've never heard of anybody taking.
Yeah, it's this Southern Bell down here. And you know what? I get more, when I'm talking to people, they go, are you recording me?
Yeah.
And I have to explain that more and more.
I know. Yeah. Well, it's noticeable, that's all.
Yeah, it is.
All right, dude.
So.
Well, good luck.
And you know what? I just got to tell you, your technique is so slick. You know, I studied improv up at Second City in Toronto and and then also in Chicago, and did a little bit of improv at up in Chicago. But I'm kind of savvy at that. But your technique is so slick.
It's funny to hear a guy who's a comic actor with a security thing on his phone in case it gets cut. I don't know what's going on with
you.
Come on. All right, now I understand.
From the same cloth,
I understand. All right, David, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate your comments.
You're more informative than all talk radio put together.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, man.
Bye bye. You ever heard anything like that? You know, in the old days, the police used to have a beep tone. And if you used to listen to news actualities on the news, you'd...
And this is Officer Brown. And then you'd hear, beep. And there was an apprehension.
Beep. And this beep tone was there so that you'd know you were being recorded. I don't know why I brought that up. It's actually not very interesting. Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with more of your calls on. It's time to talk to Phil. 1-800-449-8686.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Bill Henry. Flashback.
I want to tell this man, sir, you are insulting. There is no question. The host got you marked and pegged you as a crude fella at start. Now I'm going to tell you, you're insulting a man like my dad, who was World War II veteran.
I never did. I honor the World War II veteran. I know what he went through on account of I seen Saving Mr. Ryan.
You don't know what my dad went through. None of them. I had an uncle in Korea, too. You don't know what they went through sitting in some kind of movie theater. You've got
some
trying
pay-per-view.
Not to work.
I seen it on HBO.
You seen what on HBO?
I seen Saving Mr. Ryan. And Platoon.
You got some guts, mister, to seriously, I'm serious to tell you, you've got some guts to go against American veterans. You're trying
no,
to
sir,
capitalize.
I'm not going against American veterans. I'm saying that I understand what they all went through on account of I seen the movie theater, and I also had diarrhea.
The pet host told you use crude man,
right.
And you're very crude. But I'm going to tell you, my dad was in south of England in 1944, and the crate, when it come down, it was why he could not be on the D-Day invasion. But he stood there.
When a crate came down?
He was on the loading when they was loading up them landing ships.
Yeah.
And Mr. General Eisenhower was even on the same.
Have you ever seen Pontoon?
Pontoon?
Yes, sir.
Dad was not. What's a pontoon? A who?
Have you seen the movie Pontoon?
What do you mean, pun? It's called Platoon.
It's called Platoon. You're saying you're a World War II hero, and you don't even know it's a movie.
I didn't say I'm a hero. I said that I seen that movie and I lost my mud.
You lost your mud in Pontoon?
Well,
you don't even know the name of the movie, mister.
Let me tell you what. There's a movie that come out not too long ago, and a man said, "Do you like the smell of napalm in the morning?"
Well,
and
I'll tell
you
what.
You know what I mean by that.
Yeah, I know what you mean by saying pontoon, because you can't even get the movie right, and you're going to say that you can identify. That was about Vietnam.
No, yes, sir.
And you can't even identify with Vietnam.
No, okay.
Because you can't even get the movie correct. You just don't want to work, is your thing.
Are you trying to scam the state of California?
It certainly is.
I told you that my son and daughter were listening to this, and you're trying to. Both of you guys are trying to call me a pussy.
Hey, you're talking that crude talk, and you got your children listening to this thing?
No, I'm just saying I ain't no pussy, and my son, you trying to make me
I
be
can't
a pussy?
Listen to your words, mister.
What did I do?
You've insulted veterans. You're talking crude. You've got children listening. They should be watching cartoons now or sleeping.
My children love their daddy, and.
They love you, and knowing you're not even a World War II, and you're trying to capitalize on veterans.
I ain't disrespecting your daddy. If you say that he was on the Saving Mr. Ryan or whatever they did,
that was called
Private Ryan, and Dad told me about World War II
D-Day.
When I was a kid.
He was a D-Day.
Your
it was on
D-Day,
D-Day, almost D-Day.
Well, let me tell you something, sir, and I'm not trying to be funny, but when I seen them fireworks, it was D-Day.
You're crazy, man. You're insulting, and you're crazy.
Yes.
You don't want to. What do you call it? Work at a gasoline station or something, or flip hamburgers, and you don't want to do that kind of work no more. And you're going to take people like my daddy and other. My uncle was in Korea,
and you're going
to capitalize on their sacrifice.
Dad busted
his leg in World War II.
What year was your uncle in Korea?
It was in 1950 or 51. I wasn't even born.
The war didn't break out till like 1968 or something.
Bull crap.
That's
Vietnam.
I got a picture of my uncle in Korea.
Korea was in the 19th century or some deal.
It was 1950.
1950 when MacArthur had the troops.
Who?
Yes,
MacArthur.
Sir. The host knows, mister.
I'm not familiar with him.
The host knows.
You don't know who General Douglas MacArthur is?
I believe I've heard of him.
And you're talking about you can identify with World War II and Korea and veterans. You don't even know Douglas MacArthur?
Well, sir.
He come ashore at the Philippines.
Sir, I will tell you this.
He come ashore at Philippines.
I took my son's little baseball team to play paintball 2 months ago.
Paintball or baseball?
We went to play paintball. And when we started playing, I freaked out and hid in the fetal position while 23 8-year-olds pelted me with paintballs.
Oh,
and I
man.
Okay, now I know you're going to laugh, but let me tell you, you don't know fear.
Man, you've got to lie down somewhere and be pelted with some doctor. And
wait a minute, man. Are you saying, what are you saying? You got post-traumatic stress syndrome from being hit with paintballs?
Have you ever let a 23 8-year-old's?
I had a kid throw a water balloon at me once. It didn't put me down in no fetal position. It didn't knock me to the turf. I got up and went to work the next day, which is what you don't want to do.
Okay, so you're calling me a pussy, is that right?
No, because your children is listening. You put me on the hold button, and I will call you that, and my dad will call
you
that. So you could come out here, and he'd call you.
I just want to be clear. You got hit by paintballs.
That's what he said.
I'll tell you what, them paintballs hurt.
A bullet hurts, mister. A bullet hurts, like my uncle had almost come at him in Korea.
Do you think a bullet hurts worse than a paintball?
Of course it depends on what it hits.
Of course it does. But you can imagine how bad a bullet feels when you get hit by a paintball.
Identify with paint splattering up against your body compared to like a .22 caliber bullet or something. I got a BB hit on me once.
Yeah.
But I don't say I'm going to relate to my dad going having a crate fall on him in England or
well,
my uncle had a bullet come at him in Korea.
Well, wait a second. Some guys get shot. You're saying someone dropped a box on your daddy?
Yes, he was getting on the landing.
Well, what's that all
Mr.
about?
Mr. Eisenhower had inspected the troops.
Is that like getting hit with a bullet?
What?
No, I don't think it is.
But it broke Dad's leg. It busted it up. He got a hobble leg out of that war.
So he come back to America, and they go, what happened to you? A box
fell on me. But my dad was in the war.
That's right. He was there.
He was leaving boxes on the boob tube.
Well, sir,
I'll
tell you this.
My dad was at least in the war.
Have you ever taken a paintball right off the gonad sack? I think you'd be thinking differently.
Your children are listening. Keep talking.
That's right. Keep talking with your kids listening.
Keep talking that, mister.
He didn't. I'll tell you what right now. Who do you think
deserves... I'll sue you, mister.
Sue me? Who do you think would deserve a purple heart? I'll
sue you.
Who do you think would deserve a purple heart? Your daddy for getting a box on him or me for taking a paintball?
He would have been sailing across there with Mr. General Bradley. I know about the D-Day because Dad didn't talk.
I've seen General Bradley
movie too.
Because I've seen that movie, Patton, and General Bradley was played by Carl Malden too.
I don't know
whatever.
What's that?
I don't know which ones was in or Eddie Albert was in one of the movies.
Eddie Albert
on Green Acres.
My dad
was a veteran.
Was Green Acres? Now George C. Scott was in Green Acres, wasn't he?
George C. Scott
was not
in Green Acres. That was Eddie Albert, sir.
Eddie Albert.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
You know, you're on here. You want to sue the state of California. You want to sue Del Taco. You want to sue Haynes.
I lost my mud.
You lost your mind, what you lost in your pants.
I did not.
You lost your mind, buddy.
Well, you tell me I lost my mind out my backside? Is that what you're saying?
Your brain slipped out, buddy. Your children are hearing this,
but their daddy's
brains is gone.
I'll tell you, imagine you look up from a foxhole and you see 23 8-year-old children. Yes, they're children. Yes, sir, they are.
My uncle was in Korea in a foxhole, mister, and he don't have no paintball, 23 kids. Oh, yeah.
After those movies, I know all about General Patton.
Mister, why don't you come on down to my home?
And do what?
You talk to my daddy. My uncle's gone now. But we'll go on out in the woods back there. You talk to my dad and tell him you want to play some war games.
Go out in the woods and do what?
My dad's got the hobble leg, and he can still whoop you.
Go out in the woods? He might want to give me the gobnobble.
My dad was born in
1925.
He could whoop you up with your paintballs.
I don't think
so. You bring your paintballs.
Ain't got sense enough to stay out of the way of a box? You gonna whoop on me?
Is he looking up in the sky, or is he trying to get on a landing ship, dummy?
You're the dumbass who's suing people because you lost your mud at a fireworks demonstration.
My dad didn't try to sue one.
I don't know about this gentleman's father, but Mr. Henry, you talk to me straight. That I'll kick your ass six ways to sunset.
You gonna do that to me?
I'm the host of the radio talk show program.
Hey, I'll join the host and coming at you, mister.
Hey,
because he knows what he's talking about.
Come at me. Come on. Let's go.
Why don't you come on down here with the guy
who's got post-traumatic stress syndrome. You sure you want to get into a fight? You might crap in your pants.
That's right.
Okay, that's dirty pool.
That's right.
That's dirty pool. You know I'm under treatment for that.
The foxhole to go into, buddy, because that's how big it's going to come out on you.
I'll tell you what, mister, and I'll tell both of you. You don't know combat until crap runs down your leg.
You don't even know combat. You don't know nothing. You don't even know the name of the movies, and you got Eddie C. Albert in Green Acres.
No, Eddie Albert's in Green Acres, and George C. Scott was in Pontoon. I don't know.
He was not in Pontoon.
He was in
Patton.
All right.
Well,
You don't even know. You know what? You're going to sue and get that money, and you're the kind of guy that's running down America, and the veterans who died for this country is going to have to suffer because of people like you.
Hold on, Edward. Hey, Steve.
Yeah?
Bang, bang.
God damn you.
Bill Henry. Flashback.
Bill Henry Show will be back. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry here, and you can talk to Phil at 1-800-449-8686. Here is Ray. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil, how you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Good. Bud Dickman is my favorite character on the show. That guy is so hilarious. My question is, how do you portray his character without bursting out laughing? Because that's the funniest voice I've ever heard on any radio talk show. He's so funny.
On any radio talk show?
Yeah.
I got that voice from a radio talk show I was listening
to.
I actually got that voice from listening to the Dr. Laura show. That was a guy that called in. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. But anyway, that voice, Bud is a character that I actually developed in Ventura, and the whole concept behind him is that he spun off of his motorcycle one night and went through a tree. His head went through an oak tree. So he's like, he's challenged. And there's a lot of times I can't keep from laughing. Like today on the show, I don't know what it was we were talking about, but I found myself breaking up. I mean, some stuff strikes me as particularly funny, and other stuff I'm able to get through.
Now, one thing before I go, I can do an impersonation of him. Do you want to hear him?
Yeah, okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Hey, this is your Bud Dickman, Weekly Top 10, and listen to...
Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Jim. Hi, Jim. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil. I love your show.
How you doing, pal? Thanks.
Pretty good. I was wondering what you think about these renegade websites that are out there.
What kind?
Well, the unofficial websites.
You mean of my show?
That are dedicated to Phil Henry.
I don't know. Why, do you operate one of them?
No, I don't.
I don't see a lot of them, and I don't really go into chat rooms or anything. In fact, I don't spend any time on the computer other than to download my email and to play solitaire. So the one website that I have is our official site, and we've got a new webmaster, and the rest of the unofficial sites, wherever they are and whatever they do, I guess they're places where fans of the show can connect, and that's kind of how I see those.
Well, that's kind of how I connected with you, is by that. I mean, I heard you one night and did a search on the internet, of course, and looked up Phil Henry, but eventually I found, one of these sites, and that's kind of how I got hooked up with
it. Right. Well, we do have an official site, philhenryshow.com, so check that one out.
I have it all the time.
All right, thanks. Michael, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Howdy.
Hi, bud.
I got to tell you, I love the show.
Thanks.
My favorite character is your boss.
Oh, yeah, he's a real jerk. Yeah.
When he makes you plead and beg and...
beg for my job and all of the things that he makes me do in real life, yeah.
Apologize to the lady. Apologize.
Exactly. Shut
anyway,
up, Phil.
No, I got to tell you, you had me for 2 years. I could not, for the life of me, figure out how you stepped on yourself. I mean, you kept talking over yourself, or at least that's what it sounded like for years.
No, so it's an illusion.
I thought you had a staff.
A what?
I thought you had a staff of people.
For 2 years, you thought those were other people.
Well, I thought you had like two or three.
So you're the guy that I worry about. You,
yeah,
and thank you for listening to the show, but anytime I get a call from somebody who says to me that for 2 years I couldn't figure it out, I worry. I just think it's useless. Now, for 2 years, you listen to normal conversation, people step all over each other. There is absolutely none of that on my show because it's me doing all the voices, so it's an impossibility.
It just seemed like you were. The time you hooked me, the first time you hooked me was planning for Princess Di.
I hooked you for 2 years. What do you mean the first time I hooked you? For two years, you didn't know what the hell was going on.
When I thought you actually were doing, when you had me, the first time, the whole me for the whole show, was when that lady was complaining about going over to England to make sure those...
Yeah, it's a great show. 1-800-449-8686. I can't talk for very long with people who for 2 years didn't get the show. You know, I tell people sometimes if I'm interviewed for a newspaper or whatever, well, the real fans of this show, how long did it take them to get this show? About 24 hours. And then I get guys who actually write for newspapers, and their beat is radio. And they call up and they say, you know, for 6 months, I didn't know what was going on. I said, what are you? Can't possibly hold down a professional job relative to the radio industry and tell me that for 6 months you didn't know what the hell was going on with my show. You can't possibly be qualified to do your job. But when I hear somebody say that for 2 years, God bless you, sir. I mean, thank you for being a fan, but I can't talk to you. I should have hung up on you the minute you said that. Because you need to continue to listen. You need to continue to absorb, and you should not have my phone number. Okay, Willie, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, good evening, Phil. How are you?
How you doing?
Pretty good, thanks. Listen, I was going to call you real quick about Bob Green. Back
right.
Then down, he was down here in Miami.
Yes.
He was the program director, I believe.
He was my general manager
at
WIOD, yeah.
And you changed his character altogether when you moved him out there?
Yes, I did. I've retained the name. I hope Bob doesn't mind if he ever calls me and says, would you stop using my name? I'll understand.
That's what I was going to ask you. Was he really the general manager?
Yes, he was. He was our GM, and he was a terrific
guy.
He was a great guy, too. I loved working
really?
For Bob.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I needed to know.
You got it, pal.
I'll hang up on.
Okay, bye. So he's going to go tell Bob now that I'm still using his voice, and I'll get sued. Okay, I just want to know, Phil. Hey, Mr. Green. Phil Hendry. Here's John. Hi, John. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Good.
I wanted to ask you about Steve. I forget his last name.
Steve Dooley?
Steve Dooley.
Yeah. That's Bobby's husband.
He. Whenever he comes in, it's something good. I mean, it's going to be, I'll tell you, when you're alone by yourself and you're laughing out loud, you know you got something good.
I think that's a very high compliment. People tell me that I don't often laugh if I'm just sitting by myself at stuff.
Yeah.
But a lot of times they listen to our show, they'll, like, when's the last time you were just watching something on TV and laughed out loud?
It was watching Cable Guy.
Well, you were watching Cable Guy.
Well
my good friend Judd Apatow will be happy to hear that because I think you're the one guy. Cable Guy was funny.
Well, what I was going to ask about
And you were watching Absolutely Fabulous?
Pardon
those two,
me?
I'm asking Craig, the two chicks? Okay. I think I was watching a documentary on the history of Britain, and they were going into the whole Edward the Confessor thing, and I just, go ahead. What were you going to ask me, John?
Well, do those comments, like, what comes to mind? I know there's a lot of them, but cuts the engine, you know? Does the stuff like that?
Yeah,
does that come to you right then, or do you kind of have it planned out?
Yeah, Steve Dooley is Bobby's stupid landscape architect husband. And the way I see both of those people is that they are a sort of Generation X couple, oversexed, stupid. They made a lot of money during the boom of the 90s, and they have this big home, and they're into the Homeowners Association. And they have a lot of power, and they couldn't be less qualified to hold power.
Right.
Their view of relationship, their view of family, and their view of community is warped and twisted and sick and frankly, probably criminal, you know.
Right.
And it
was something with her that the last time I remember you, where you couldn't control it while you were doing her voice, and you kind of had to cover somehow.
Yes, it happens. She's funny. I like that character a lot.
Oh, I love them.
Thanks for calling, John. I appreciate you calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay, Ben, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil, it's a real honor to be talking to you.
Thank you.
I'm calling about the New York Times Magazine article.
Oh, yeah.
And just was fascinated reading it, glad that there was actually some publicity in a big town like that that didn't even carry you.
Right.
But I'm wondering, first of all, what was your overall impression of the article?
That was great.
And then the last line I kind of took as a zinger and didn't know how maybe you thought.
Well, you got to read the New York Times article, but he said he left my show and started listening to other shows.
Yes.
And said they somehow sounded fake.
Yes.
And I think that it was meant as a compliment because our program, I think, gets real emotional content from our callers. We
right.
don't have a lot of people posing who call in and pretend like they care about the issue. Most talk shows, their callers pose. They pander to the host. They pretend like they really care. They pretend like they're really interested. And it's all just to get the approval of the host. It doesn't happen on our show. That's why most talk shows are phony sounding. And the calls that we get are from real people who honestly feel how they feel. And that's how I took that. I could be wrong. Phil Hendry Show.